Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and those who attend this service through internet and on GCN. Last year, for the 36th anniversary of this church, I delivered this message, Blessed are you, O Mamin. And this is part two. Father God chose Israelites, and they were given chosen people. Father God wanted to show that He is God, the Creator, who governs life and death and fortune and misfortune of people through them. And Father God wants to show His love and will through them too. And He also wants all the people to know God and revere God through them. So let me tell you what I said last time. After the 40 years of life in the wilderness, they are now looking at the Canaan land. Moses knew that his spirit would be called by Father God, so he gave the final speech to Israelites and taught them the law of God and the will of God. And he urged them. It was to remember the love and blessing of Father God who fed them and guided them and protected them for the last 40 years. Never forget that love and to revere God. And Moses blessed each and every 12 tribes of Israel. And the last blessing was the script of tonight. He said, Blessed are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, who is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. So your enemies will cringe before you, and you will tread upon their high places. Moses showed them what kind of great blessing and love they received from Father God. He asked them, Who's like you, a people saved by the Lord? He let them know that there is no other tribe who were chosen by God and blessed by God and loved by God. Father God was their shield and sword, and defeated all the enemies and made them achieve victory. Such God of love chose this church among countless churches around the world. And He wants to be glorified this church. After the start of this church, He's been with us in our history. He's been our shield and sword of glory. He defeated all the enemies and helped us achieve a victory. And He is saying to us like this. We are witnesses to that. He said, Blessed are you, O Mamin. Who is like you? A people saved by God, who is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. So your enemies will be cringing before you, and you will tread upon their high places. Amen. Let's read it again together. Let me repeat. Let me say, Blessed are you, O Mamin. Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord, who is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. So your enemies will cringe before you, and you will tread upon their high places. Amen. Let's give all thanks and glory to Father God. Father God has given us true faith, and He has led us to live a Christian life in this kind of firm assurance of faith and salvation. Look around. It's hard to find such Christians who live their Christian life in such assurance and hope for heaven. He's been our shield. He has helped us all the time. He's been our sword of majesty. and He has defeated all our enemies. He helped us achieve victory all the time. God of Manmin has never made a mistake. He's been glorified in this history of Manmin. That's why, although the reality is somewhat difficult, we don't see that, but we look at everything with the eyes of faith. We see the glory of Father God, which will be revealed. Isaiah 62 says, "Behold, darkness will cover the earth and keep deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you and His glory will appear upon you." Father God is saying like this to Manmin. Brothers and sisters, Manmin is blessed. Last time, I explained why we are blessed in 3 points. First, we're blessed thanks to the teaching of our true shepherd. Our Lord said, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Our shepherd, our senior pastor, has sacrificed his life for us through countless fastings and prayers. He received the gospel of holiness from Father God, and he taught us that, and He set the example in the Word. Thanks to His teaching, we cast off evil from our hearts and live a holy life now. The second reason why Manmin is blessed is that our shepherd is manifesting the power of God. Brothers and sisters, if you read of all the power and signs and wonders of Father God from the Bible, there is nothing. The Bible begins with, "In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth." Beginning with this the Genesis and all the revelations, the Bible contains the power of God. Father God wants to show that He is alive through the works of His power and signs and wonders. And by seeing those power of God, people would break their fleshly thoughts and revere God and acknowledge God. Mark 16:20 says, "They went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by signs that followed." We can see two things here. That Father God confirms His word through His power. And Father God confirms that those disciples, those who preach the gospel, are guaranteed and they are sent by God. Father God guaranteed our senior pastor with His power. And He proved that whatever our senior pastor said was true, the word of God. As we saw those signs, we were sure that he was sent by God, and Father God guarantees him. Such words of God, we got to remember this. The word of God, we believe in this word of God. This word of God is true. So, ask yourself, what have you believed? I think I gave you this question. What did you believe? What are you believing now? What are you going to believe? What we have believed and what we believe is the Word of God and His power. Thanks to such Word of life and His power, our faith could grow up. Most of all, we could cast off evil even in this sin-filled world. We could fight the good fight. How and why? Thanks to the Word of God. And thanks to power, the power of God that our senior pastor has manifested so far. Someone said, this one lost fervor. This man said, "Pastor, for so long years, I couldn't pray. I lost my fullness. But nowadays, I'm regaining that fullness again. That was the confession. Well, there was a story. When he lost the fullness, he started to read the Word of God, not the Bible. Of course, you know, he read the Bible, but he started to listen to senior pastors' messages through internet. You know, we can listen to his messages, right? We can, you know, we can also read the script of the message. So that's what he read. From Genesis, like to message of the cross and other messages, especially spirit, soul, and body. You know, he started to read. He just read it. Back then, you know, he lost his fullness. And he started to read those, you know, script of senior pastor's messages. So he didn't receive God's grace from first time. However, when he read it again and again and again, his heart became filled and he started to receive grace and tears came down and he started to receive fullness back and he started to pray. And he felt the love of our senior pastor. And when he kept on reading that the script, he recovered his fullness and fervor back again. Why is that? Because the Word had the life in it. The Word is true. The Word was the truth. If you read Mark 16:20 100 times in this moment of blessing, if by any chance you lost the fullness or when you feel something uneasy in your heart, read this, Mark 16:20 100 times. What would happen to you? You would receive the fullness by the work of the Holy Spirit. That I believe Holy Spirit will give you assurance. The third reason Mammon is blessed is that we can hope for New Jerusalem. There are Christians who say, I'm Christian, but I cannot believe in heaven. There are many Christians like that. They go to church, but they don't do anything for the kingdom of God. They don't even make an effort to live by the word of God. They just, you know, compromise with the world while maintaining their Christian lives. Since they have a little bit of conscience left, you know, they got worried whether they would be saved or not, even though they are Christians. Ask yourself whether you are like that. Well, I used to be like that. Before I met senior pastor, before I came to this church, I was such a Christian. You know, when I received grace, when I prayed, when I went to the revival meetings, I received grace and fullness. Then I lost my fullness and I became just, you know, just worldly Christian. And I lived in sin. Then I got fear in my heart. And I didn't feel easy in my heart. I used to be such a Christian. However, there are people who commit sin even without this kind of, you know, fear in their hearts. There are such Christians. Since they got no faith, no love, you know, they got no fear in their hearts. We used to be like that. However, we now have full assurance and hope for heaven. Now, we can now even hope for New Jerusalem, the best place in heaven. That's the fact, isn't it? Father God prepared heaven for His beloved children. And Revelation 21:2 says, And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. To lead us into that beautiful city of New Jerusalem, our senior pastor has done his labor to lead us into that New Jerusalem. Galatians 4:19 says, My children, with whom I'm again in labor until Christ is formed in you. Think about a woman's life. She is most beautiful when she stands at the wedding place. Such adorned bride. Well, the Bible says we are bride and our Lord is bridegroom. But now, our Father God says again that New Jerusalem is bride and we are husbands. And Father God prepared like that. Such beautiful love of Father God. And our senior pastor was in labor like this. As Galatians 4:19 says, My children with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. Up until this moment, to deliver us as a true Christian, senior pastor's love and justice has been continued. Thanks to that love, Manmin is running toward New Jerusalem with great hope. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, so far I told you why Manmin is blessed. I'm pretty sure that you can find many more reasons why you are blessed. So I would like to add some more. So I would like to give you some more reasons why we're blessed and share God's grace with you. As I deliver this message, may you engrave that love and grace in your heart and glorify Father God and give thanks to God. In Manmin Prayer Center, in morning service, we show the testimonies of our members. During the Divine Healing Week season. Since I remember that, you know, before the actual prayer center in the meeting happens, we watch those testimonies, which is about like a 5-minute video clip. Whenever it happened, we watched it again and again. But whenever we watch that video clips, I think of God's grace that I got. And I remind all those who were there of that grace. I watched it like a couple of times. No, several times. But whenever I watch it, it gives me, grace. Uh-huh. She or he showed that the faith. And as they received senior pastor's prayer, they received blessing. They were healed. They received answers. Even though, even though I was not one of them, I received God's grace. Then as I deliver a message, since I received God's grace, of course I received grace when people give me special songs, right? We opened our hearts and received grace. Of course, preacher also receives grace. When in the choir gives special songs or the singers give special performance, preachers open their hearts as the preachers receive God's grace. So that's what I did. I received God's grace as I watching those testimonies and felt the love of Father God and delivered the messages. And those who are attending, receiving even greater God's grace. Senior pastor was like that whenever he testifies to healings. And we should never forget God's grace. That's right. In what year I received this healing, I received this answer. I solved these problems thanks to Father God. No, I'm not saying that you have to remember those in the date and year. You're just remembering. You're just recalling that. However, what senior pastor does is that he remembers God's grace and that feeling, the thrilling moment in his heart. So whenever he testifies, he sheds tears and we receive grace from that. Manmin is blessed because we understand the love of God, the Creator. That's the fourth reason. Tell you again. We understand the love of God, the Creator. That's the reason. Bible contains Father God's love. It contains how Father God created man and how He cultivates man on this earth with His love. People committed sin of obedience. They were destined to hell. But to save such people, Father God sent His only begotten Son and made Him be crucified. And whoever believes in Him will be saved, forgiven, and go to heaven. But look around. How many can understand this love of Father God in their heart? So many Christians go to church, but they don't feel the love of Father God, even though they say they believe in God. They just fear. They are afraid of God in their Christian life. So we feel sorry for that. Why don't they know the love of Father God, even though they are Christians? The reason is that they have not met God of love. Love is not something you learn. Love is something that you feel in your heart. How do you feel it? Well, you gotta have someone that you can love, and you gotta know him, you gotta understand him. So first of all, you have to meet that person. As you keep on meeting that person, you came to have some kind of good feeling. And as you continue meeting that person, you came to know about his heart and his truth, and you start to receive the feeling of love. The same happens with Father God. First of all, you come to know God through His Word. Then, you gotta meet God. You gotta know what kind of heart He has and what is His will. Through continuous meetings with Him, we gotta feel His love. Thanks to our senior pastor's words of life, we came to know God of love, and as we witnessed the power of God, we met God. Through the teaching of senior pastor, who understands the deep love of Father God, we came to learn Father God's heart and His will. Then we came to love Father God. We heard Father God is love. However, what is that love? You didn't feel it because you didn't meet God. How could you say you love God then? Mamim Praise number 8 says like this, "Every day when I look toward the heaven, I see flowers by day and stars at night. I can feel the sweet love of the Lord, the love He reveals to me. In the breeze touching my face, I can feel the breath of my Lord. In the blade of grass or just the common stone, I know the presence of the Lord. Have you known the love of the Lord? His great and amazing love? Do you feel comfort and warmth? Can you feel the touch of His hand? He fills the space of my longing heart. His love's etched deep in my heart. Let us share the endless wonders of His love with all peoples of the earth." Brothers and sisters, what do you feel from these lyrics? Father God loves us through all the things on this earth. The people don't feel the love of Father God. Father God's desperate love for us, and He wants us to feel it and understand it. That is what the lyrics say. Oh, beloved brothers and sisters, how much do you feel the love of Father God? You are here. That's the evidence of Father God's love. He called you. He made you stay here. In this, throughout the moment of blessing, you stand in your position. That's the love of Father God. When I was doing a mission for years in China, I didn't do it by alone, but I sometimes led the Daniel prayer meeting alone, myself, at home, in my room. And I feel the love of Father God and the Lord and senior pastor. And I think more than 300 days, when I think of Father God's love and of the Lord and grace of salvation, I prayed with tears more than 300 days in a year. Such a love of Father God, I engraved in my heart. How can a person like me receive such grace and receive the blessing of salvation? And by that grace, I am here. That's what I prayed. 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Our beloved senior pastor understands such width, height, length, and depth of Father God's love, and he taught us that, and he showed example. Well, senior pastor used to go to other churches to lead revival meetings. He used to ask this question to congregation, Do you love God? Then most of the congregation attending said, Amen. Then senior pastor began delivering the message. On the first day, senior pastor, testified to his healing. And he said, how he met God. Next day, he delivered the message of the message of the cross. On the third day, senior pastor asked the same question again. Do you love God? Then he could barely hear amen from the congregation. Barely heard that. As they listened to senior pastor's messages, they came to know what is to love God. So they couldn't say amen, right? And during the revival meeting, the ministering pastor of that church fixed their posture. At the end of the revival meeting, that pastor and elders and workers of that church come to senior pastor and repent before our senior pastor. I was just a paid worker. We were so, arrogant. Those ministering pastor and the elders and repented before senior pastor like that. No, they were so pure like that. They had the problems. They had problems in that and in their churches. They got separations, and there were people who followed elders or pastor that they were arguing in that church. So they came to repent. Back then, Christians were so pure, right? It was the story in 1980s. So that's why it happened. So through the speaker, they met God. Through the word of life, they came to love Father God, and they understood it. What is the biggest commandment of Father God in the Bible? It is written in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40. Our Lord said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost of commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. And the 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, But now faith, hope, love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. Feeling the love of Father God and understanding is so important. Why? Love is the reason why Father God created human beings on this earth. He planned all things out of His love. He created all things out of His love. And He started human cultivation throughout this, with this love. With His love, He sent His begotten Son and made Him crucified. And He prepared heaven for us with that love. And He prepared New Jerusalem like a bride for her husband. Revelation is the core. New Jerusalem is the core of Father God's love. Senior pastor knows this love. That's why he proclaims like this. Sit here, brother and sister, let's go to New Jerusalem together. But we couldn't feel this amazing love before. We heard God is love. Even though we heard that He sent His only begotten Son, we couldn't feel it. We couldn't understand it. Because God was invisible. We couldn't understand why we gotta love Him. And why and how. 1 John 5:3 says, This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. As we heard this message, our hearts got refreshed. Our eyes got cleared. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Senior pastor testified how he loved God and how he met God. And with his actions and truth, he showed that love to us. He helped us understand it. Then we were able to believe in Father God and love God, who is Spirit. Senior pastor was called as a servant of God in May 1978, and God said to him, My beloved servant that I chose ages before, I refined you for 3 years, so now prepare the word of God for 3 years. You loved me more than your parents, your wife, and your children. Senior pastor has loved Father God foremost of all, more than anything. One senior pastor said, We were born to love. Well, I'm not sure today, but we were born to love. And with this love, we go to heaven in New Jerusalem, right? Well, when I was a student, you know, I had to remember a proclamation in the people's education. It happened in the 1960s and 70s. Back then, the elementary school students had to remember and memorize this in the proclamation, right? It begins with, like, you know, we are born to revive this Korea. it began like this, you know. I cannot recall that whole proclamation, but we had to memorize it. Do you remember? Well, we memorized it during class. That happened in the 1970s. But we were born to love. We were born to love Father God. We were born to love. And we know what it is to love Father God. That is to keep His commandments. As we love Father God, keeping His commandments is not burdensome. That's our faith. Knowing this is a truly blessing. This is not something that we can own by our own effort. We could receive this kind of blessing thanks to our shepherd. We didn't know Father God's love. We were destined to hell, but we came to meet God the Creator when we fell in love with Father God. So we are blessed. The fifth reason we are blessed is that we realize the true value of life. Galatians 3:18 says, I said to myself concerning the sons of men, God has surely tested them in order for them to see that they are but beasts. God created everything along with human beings, and there is a reason and purpose. So all the creatures live by that purpose in the providence of Father God. But human beings who were created in the utmost love of Father God forgot that purpose. They live like beasts. To such people, Father God said in Isaiah 1 verses 2 and 3, Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth. For the Lord speaks, Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner and a donkey its master's manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Even ox and donkey knows, but they do not know me. We used to live like that. People were created after the image of Father God, and their wisdom got added up, and they challenged even God. They even copy animals. They try to find, become immortal. But they do not know where they are from and where they are going. But my beloved brothers and sisters, I'd like to ask you, where are you from? And where are you to? If I ask you these questions, then even students from Sunday school will answer. It's a great wisdom indeed. Those who went abroad to study cannot find this answer, cannot find the answer to these questions. Who can give us this wisdom? Our Father can give us this wisdom. And we heard this wisdom from our shepherd. Of course, Christians know that we were created by Father God and there is heaven and hell. Christians learn it. However, just knowing it and believing it in the heart is completely different. You all believe it in your heart, and it is a blessing. This kind of understanding and faith is our reason of our blessing. So we got to give thanks to Father God and the Lord and the Holy Spirit for this. What is the best thing in your life? Was someone trying to find it in his life? That's King Solomon, who received wisdom from Father God. Ecclesiastes 2, verses 3 to 11, he said like this, I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine while my mind was guiding me wisely, and how to take hold of folly until I could see what good there is for the sons of man to do under heaven the few years of their lives. I enlarged my works. I built the houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself, and I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves, and I had home-born slaves. Also, I possessed the flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines. Then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. All that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. Thus, I considered all my activities, which my hands had done, and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after a wind, and there was no profit under the sun. Brothers and sisters in Christ, King Solomon was a king of great power. He did all these things, but he said all was vanity. He got great wisdom from Father God. He pursued all kinds of things for his pleasure. But in the end, he said, all was vanity. There was a doctor who worked in a hospital with cancer victims. He gave questions to his patients. What do you regret most? That's the question. He collected answers to that, and he wrote a book. And he said five things in his book, what they regret. First, they weren't honest to themselves. They didn't live their life that others want them to live. Second, they didn't have to work so hard. Instead, they had to spend more time with their beloved people. Third, they didn't express their feelings outwardly. And It became the cause of their diseases. Fourth, it's quite, they know why they got sick. Even though they didn't hear the gospel of holiness, they realized why they got sick. Out of their conscience, they finally got the understanding. They were honest to themselves. They oppressed their feelings, and they became their sicknesses. It means, you know, they had sins in their heart, like a hatred and jealousy, and they became the cause of their diseases. Fourth, they had to contact their friends. And the fifth, happiness was actually according to their choice. They could have chosen a better life, but they didn't choose that change. They just lived a life that others live. Now, that's what they said. At the end of the book, the writer delivered this message to the readers. Something that was strange was that in their regrets, they didn't do things which made them happy. What I'm saying is that they didn't regret, I should have earned more. I should have bought a bigger house. I should have driven a bigger car or better car. I should have taught my children better. You know, there was no such regrets. Why is that? Well, you already know the answer. When death came before their eyes, they realized that all of them were useless. Since they didn't know God, they didn't know where they were from and where they were going. One thing they realized was that everything they did on this earth was vanity. Ecclesiastes 7:4 says, the mind of the wise is in the house of mourning, while the mind of fools is in the house of pleasure. When we go to those in funeral, well, if you're wise, you'd better go to a funeral place instead of in a wedding place. You may say, why? But if you go to a funeral place, you're wise. If you go to a wedding place, people just entertain themselves, eating and drinking. But if you go to a funeral place, you learn what kind of life he lived and he died, and how he died. You may think about it. He lived a good life, then I should live such a life. If he lived an evil life, if he did something wrong, then I should not be like that. You gotta have a second-hand learning, right? So, it is a wisdom, isn't it? You will learn how you should live your life. That's the wisdom. When I was a guidance pastor in youth mission, a young man died. So I went to his funeral. Young man suddenly died overnight. I couldn't remember why he died, but so the young man died overnight. Of course, he didn't keep the Sabbath day holy. He was absent from church. So I went to his funeral, and I saw his mom crying, mourning. His mom was crying. She was in the mourning. And she said, why do you leave me behind? No, she wasn't crying like that. But then, I remember what she said like this. You didn't spend all the money that you have saved, and you are gone. That's what she said. And she was crying like this. So, later on, I heard that, you know, after graduation from his high school, he worked so hard. Well, he got, you know, two or three jobs. And he worked so hard. And he saved all. And then he saved all. And then I think he was 28 back then, but he already owned his own house. And he got many savings and he got many insurances. Well, if I recall correctly, I think he got like millions of dollars, I guess, in his savings. And but he didn't enjoy that. So his mother was sorry for that. And she was crying over that. And brothers and sisters. But you and I are wise to know what is wrong with this. Mami members already have wisdom. Everything on this earth is vanity. We all know that where we are from and where we are to. So we are so wise. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14 say, the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, where it is, whether it is good or evil. So we are truly blessed, since we know where you are from and where we are to. However, something is missing. 3 John 1:2 says, beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Father God wants you to receive blessing even on this earth, other than, you know, just in heaven. So what is the true conditions for our happiness? Senior pastor explained it once. First, you should have no worries. Not only for yourself, but for your family or people that you know of. When you have no worries in your heart, then you're truly blessed. Second, you should make peace with all the people around you. Then you will have easy mind. And on top of that, you should be able to receive, enjoy whatever you got here, and share it with others. That's true blessing. And if you have someone that can share your spiritual love, if you have someone that you can give up your life for, then you are truly happy. That's what our senior pastor said. You're truly blessed if you are like this. And the senior pastor added like this, I am truly blessed because I got all this. He confessed like that. Where can we find people who confess like this? How many? Those who are wealthy? Don't they have worries? People have their own worries. They are short of something. Where can we find people who don't have no worry, who got no worries? But Mami members understand true value of life, so you are truly blessed. Even though you are short of something in here and there, you are finding reasons and meet the conditions one by one as your life goes on. So you're truly blessed. Sixth reason why Mammin is blessed is that we listen to the holiness gospel. Mankind were saved thanks to Jesus Christ and they go to heaven. But holiness gospel is not staying at the level of just, you know, repenting and receiving salvation. By thanks to the help of the Holy Spirit, we cast off even sinful attributes from our heart and never commit sin. That's the heart of Jesus Christ. That's the recovering the lost image of Father God. Philippians 2:5 says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And Genesis 1:26 says, God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. God tells us to have the heart of Jesus Christ and to recover the lost image of Father God. That's the ultimate reason and purpose of His creation mankind on this earth. We've got to remember that. Father God wants to save mankind and lead them to heaven. Father God wants us to recover the lost image of Father God and to become His true children and go to New Jerusalem and live happily forever and ever. But people lost the image of Father God. They became slave to sins. So, Ecclesiastes 3:18 says, I said to myself concerning the sons of men, God has surely tested them in order for them to see that they are but beasts. But we listen to this gospel of holiness, and thanks to this gospel, we are becoming true children of Father God. But our Lord said in John 6, verses 59 to 60, these things He said in the synagogues as He taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of His disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? As a result of this, many of His disciples withdrew and were not walking with Him anymore. They said, you know, the word that our Lord spoke was difficult to understand, and they left Him. What our Lord said was that, I am the living bread from heaven. You gotta eat this flesh of Son of Man and drink His blood to live, to live eternally. Our Lord, His flesh and blood. The flesh is His word, and drinking His blood is to keep His word, right? But His disciples thought it was difficult, and they left Him. The same thing happens in the church. So many people heard the message delivered by a senior pastor, and they said it's difficult. I think millions of people heard this message and left this church. They thought this gospel of holiness is difficult. They couldn't cope with the refinements of blessing, and they left. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, our Lord said, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. The way to salvation is not wide, it is narrow, said the Lord. Well, to walk this way of salvation, we have to be awake. We have to achieve salvation with fear. We have to cast off sin to the point of shedding blood. So it is a narrow path. I once visited a church in the city of Songdo. There was a church that was, experiencing great revival. And I felt something in that church. I felt something while I was sitting there. Something was comfortable. Then I was wondering, why is that? And after I came back, I couldn't understand why I felt easy. Then I asked myself, I attended that worship service, and I felt very easy. Then I understood this. The praises, the word, the message was delivered for 40 minutes. The pastor delivered the message. Do this. Don't do that. You gotta pray. There was such a message. There isn't such a message. You shouldn't do this. He didn't say it like that. So, that's why I felt easy. That's what I felt. It was easy. It was easy service. I felt that easy. John 6:65, our Lord said, for this reason I have said to you, that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. You and I have been led by Father God. Sometimes we feel the gospel of holiness difficult. But Peter said, the word of life is here. Where can we go? Which is our confession. Brothers and sisters, But we know, we confess, there is the Word of God, the Word of life in the church, and there is power of God and the works of His power. The seventh reason that we are blessed is that not only the assurance of salvation, but we also have perfect faith, brothers and sisters in Christ. We got faith. Thanks to this faith, we can be saved, we can go to heaven, and we can receive answers to our prayers. So many people say Jesus is the Savior, and they pray in the name of the Lord. But the Lord said in Luke 18, verse 8, I tell you that He will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? So many people are not sure whether they have true faith, which can bring them salvation. They vaguely believe that, you know, they somehow would be saved. But the Bible truly says that there is faith that can save, there is faith that cannot save. There is great faith, there is little faith, there is faith that can lead to answer, and faith that cannot. Who are the most to be pitied? They are those who prayed in the name of the Lord, they made the Christian life, they prayed and they sang praises, but they are not saved when the Lord comes back. Well, those Christians want to have the assurance of salvation and great faith. However, entering the spiritual world is not easy. We got to have the help of the Holy Spirit, and we have to receive the guidance of the spiritual leader. We got to know what he's saying, how to keep the Sabbath day holy, how to give the perfect faith, what is idol worshiping. We got to have perfect understanding of all these things. So we need the teacher. We didn't understand it all our own. But we learned it. If you have not met our senior pastor, you would not have realized this. But we learned what is idol worshiping. We clearly understand it now. Thanks to our senior pastor's messages. Before you came to this church, you heard about in the great faith and little faith. But have you ever learned that living faith and dead faith, spiritual faith and fleshly faith, have you heard of? Faith with deeds, perfect faith, my faith, faith from above, faith given by God. Before I came to this church, I listened to a messages of the pastor who is well known in the world. But I do not remember his messages. I couldn't understand the spiritual meaning of faith. So how could I have faith, which is spiritual faith? How could I have great faith back then? After I came to this church, when I met senior pastor, my heart got so freshed thanks to James 2:14, which says, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? Senior pastor delivered the message with this scripture, and my heart got refreshed, and I started to bring down all the burden of sin. I came to understand what true faith is. You don't know where you're going, but you gotta go there. But you gotta know navigation. But once you find a navigator, all you have to do is just follow the navigator, just obey, who is our senior pastor. So all you have to do is just follow him, and you will get there. You will get to the beautiful place. Amos 8:11 says, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. Where can you find a church or a pastor who says, cast off sin, live by the word, keep the Sabbath day holy, and give the full faith? The world is full of sin. It's not easy to find a guide who teaches the word of God. But our senior pastor set the example while teaching the word of life for the last 37 years, and he increased our faith with his power. Our Lord said in John 4:48, unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. Brothers and sisters, but thanks to teaching our senior pastor, we came to have spiritual faith, and now we have got full assurance of faith. and salvation. We hope for new heaven. We hope for new Jerusalem with sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Perfect faith is to cast off sin from our heart and have the sincere heart and receive the faith from above. Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." If you read the Bible, you can find the forefathers of faith who had this sincere heart and full assurance of faith. They surpassed their faith and love for Father God surpassed death. That was the life of Abraham, Daniel, and Apostle Paul. And Father God is expecting such love and trust from us. And we have achieved victory so far, according to that expectation. So we are truly blessed and happy to receive that kind of expectation. So we will become the fruits of New Jerusalem. Nowadays, I think about this. Becoming the fruit in New Jerusalem is like this. That is, even though we do not face death before our eyes, just like the forefathers of faith, we have love and trust that can, you know, we can surpass death. God said to Abraham, "Give his son as a burnt offering." Abraham never imagined that. He couldn't understand it. It was a rather shocking word. However, he believed and trusted Father God who gave him only the good things. Out of his love for Father God, he obeyed. And Father God acknowledged his faith. And Father God called him a friend of God. Brothers and sisters, as we see the reality, we see it is the stage where our faith can be acknowledged as true faith. Nobody received the refinement that Job received. Nobody received the test that Abraham received. But as Mammin, we're receiving this refinement. It is a blessing. Through this, he expects every one of us to become the fruit in New Jerusalem. All those people of God, give your son as a burnt offering. Only Abram received that test. But what about our senior pastor? He was given such tests. Right after he started the church, his three daughters were poisoned by poisonous gas overnight. They were dead. Even if they had survived, they had to suffer for all their lives as disabled. However, before that death, what did our senior pastor say? I heard him. I witnessed that. I was blessed. Back then, there were about like 30 in the sanctuary. I was back then, you know, after the Friday all-night service, the people all in a hurry to go home, right? And they all in a hurry to go home after Friday service. But you know, I was in charge of, you know, taking care of the sanctuary. You know, I was cleaning the sanctuary. I was, you know, mopping and then sweeping the sanctuary. So I was able to see that test. Beautiful incident. Senior pastor, what kind of faith he got and how he prayed and what kind of faith he showed. I witnessed it myself. It was my blessing. Even if Father God took his three daughters, he was not surprised. He was not even shocked. He didn't open his eyes wide. You know, can you imagine the situation? What? He was just as calm as he used to be. He got no facial expression. Then he looked at them, turned around. He didn't say, "Look." He didn't even touch his children. He turned around, went up to altar and prayed. How he prayed? Father God, thank you. Thank you for taking my three daughters from this world which is filled with so many difficulties. Thank you. However, consider this young man. Father God was pleased to hear this prayer. We should be able to make this kind of confession. We got Canaan land before our eyes. We got to enter there. So it is natural for us to receive this kind of refinement. We got to accomplish the will of Father God. Without this passing of this refinement, we could not enter the land of Canaan. What a beautiful confession. Brothers and sisters, Father God has been with us with His great power, and He is still with us. When Senior Pastor followed his sister and met God, and his diseases were all healed, he tried to doubt. He tried to doubt it. However, he couldn't. So he knelt down. God, you are truly alive. He shouted like this. I can remember all those works of God's power from the start of this church. I remember those, you know, moments when I, in my prayer, how Father God worked, how He worked during the, from the start of this church. Well, there was the first, you know, summer retreat. And He was, you know, rain all night long. There was a storm. The rain was, you know, striking against the window, church window. But after, you know, morning prayer, you know, Senior Pastor led all those, you know, students. And he said, after a morning prayer, then after we will go out, right? The rain was, you know, pouring down. He said, my beloved young people and students, we have prayed for the summer retreat for the last 2 months, but the rain is pouring down like this. However, if you and I pray in one heart, then when we go out, the rain will stop. Do you believe it? He asked us. And we said, amen. We shouted like that. And we prayed. And he prayed. He prayed with hands up in the air. Father God, please stop this rain. Rain stop. In the name of our Lord, I prayed the rain stop. And then the rain didn't stop. There was a raining outside. Senior Pastor said, when we step out, then the rain will stop. I was the president of students. I was carrying my bags. In about like 20 seconds, or 30 seconds longest. And then there was a mysterious thing happening. That heavy rain, in 20 seconds, the rain stopped. It's like, you know, that such a heavy rainfall stopped. And there was a fog. It worked like that. I remember those moments in my prayer. There was a work like that. The poisonous gas, how Senior Pastor prayed, and those three daughters, his three daughters revived. Still, the dragonflies come down, and the rainbows appear in our sky almost virtually every day. We see the promise of Father God every day. Father God adjusts signs and the weather and the temperature. Then I remember them, engrave them in my heart again and again. Then I ask myself, and I pray, Father, all this is your glory, for your glory. Then my heart got burning up. Let me conclude this message. Romans 5 verse 3 and 4 say, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that the tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. We've been doing well in this, you know, perseverance, in these tribulations. Now we have hope. Romans 8 verses 17 and 18 say, "And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." We should be able to confess with this, with great faith, that Father God will give us New Jerusalem and we will become the perfect fruit of our senior pastor in New Jerusalem. So, on the beautiful, the glorious day, we will stand in New Jerusalem as the fruit of our shepherd. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Brothers and sisters, Mammin is blessed. First, we got teaching of the true shepherd. Second, we got the power of God. Third, we got hope for New Jerusalem. Third, we understood the love of God the Creator. Fifth, we understood the true value of life. Sixth, we have the gospel of holiness. Seventh, not only the assurance of salvation, but we got to have perfect faith. So, let us read the scripture of this message. Let me repeat. Blessed are you, O Manmin. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? Who is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty? So your enemies will cringe before you, and you'll tread upon their high places. Amen. Mammin members, we are blessed. Let's think over the message and pray together.
Hallelujah. Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.